So now we have a gyroscope in a laboratory. If we can change the flow of time in that local area, then perhaps the gyroscope will speed up or slow down. Here's the problem. The flow of time in the rest of our laboratory must not change. Otherwise, the clocks, the instruments, the energy fields, and even our own bodies would all speed up or slow down at the same time the gyroscope did, and there would be no way for us to know that anything was happening. Einstein thought the flow of time could not change in a local area like a science lab. It was locally invariant. However, Kozarev's discoveries, along with the others we've already been discussing, throw that idea right out the window. A spinning gyroscope has a slow circular wobble called precession, just like the Earth's. When the flow of time slows down or speeds up, a small but noticeable change will appear in the speed of a gyroscope's precession, if you set it up according to Kozarev's instructions. These gyroscopes were electrically powered, so they would continue to run perfectly for long periods of time. That meant any hiccups we might see in the rotation were not the result of the gyroscope running out of energy and naturally slowing down. The changes Dr. Anderson found in the speeds that various NASA probes traveled through space were very small, only about 13 millimeters per second. Kozarev's effects were also very small. According to A.P. Levitch, who wrote an incredible summary of Kozarev's work that I will reference throughout this chapter, the amount of change in Kozarev's gyroscopes or other mechanical detectors could be as little as 10 to the minus 6 or 10 to the minus 7 of the overall amount of movement in the object. This is comparable in size to the very small changes NASA found in the speed their space probes were traveling. Therefore, Kozarev needed to develop extremely sensitive methods in order to detect changes in the flow of time. Another mechanical detector that gave Kozarev results was a beam balance, which is just a bar dangling horizontally on a string, or filament, so it remains perfectly level from left to right. Kozarev found it was important that the beam weighed much more on one side than the other, in fact, 10 times as much, as this made it much more sensitive to tiny little movements. However, the real secret ingredient was to vibrate the hook the beam was hanging from at a high speed. Once you did this, the beam would move very suddenly and noticeably, even from touching it with the most delicate puff of air. For this very reason, you had to keep it sealed under a glass dome and suck all the air out of the inside. That way you could guarantee that air would not cause it to move. You then let the beam come to a perfect state of rest so it doesn't appear to move at all. However, when there is a flicker in the flow of time, the vibrating speed of the hook at the top will make a subtle but delicate change. The beam is so precariously balanced that this little change in vibrational speed actually causes it to move, noticeably. Kozarev found a variety of things that would cause a change in the flow of time, as we will discuss in a minute. However, the greatest surprise of his life came when he was reading Goethe's classic Faust, in which the hero is approached by the devil Mephistopheles and offered the greatest riches of the world in exchange for his immortal soul. Don't forget that Kozarev went through grinding hunger, poverty, and hard labor in the concentration camp. It's easy to see how many temptations he must have felt to steal food, shoes, clothing, blankets, or soap, or to find a way to avoid working. Thus, the story had a very personal feeling. He sat there reading the book in his lab near the balance beam detector. As the story reached its climax, he had a sudden emotional surge. Right at that very same moment, the beam suddenly turned and pointed at him. This was when he first realized that he had not merely discovered the flow of time. It was not just an energy that flowed in and out of physical matter. It was the energy of mind as well, the source field. With this discovery, Kozarev could now prove that our thoughts were not locked away privately in our own brains. They created measurable signals that his detectors could pick up. Many more tests confirmed that this effect was real. And in the Global Consciousness Project, we find that when enough people think the same way, it creates a worldwide effect we can measure electronically. Kozarev's discovery fits perfectly with everything we discovered in the early chapters, from Baxter, Broad, and so on. We do appear to be sharing the same mind, at least to some degree. That energy is all around us, and it actually has fluid-like flow patterns. Some people might attack Kozarev's work and say that it had to be caused by magnetic fields or static electricity. He prevented this by also placing his detectors inside a Faraday cage, which screens out all electromagnetic fields. Keeping his detectors in a vacuum under glass ensured that air couldn't move them either. If his detector started moving, he was now observing the flow of time directly, a ripple in the source field. Another effective mechanical detector Kozarev developed was a swinging pendulum, which was also electrically powered like the gyroscope. Once again, if he vibrated the hook it was hanging on, the pendulum responded to the time flow much more noticeably, just like we saw with the balance beam and the gyroscope. In this case, the actual direction of the pendulum's swing would change. Of course, he also had to keep it sealed in a vacuum and shielded from electromagnetic fields. Creating and absorbing time. So now what? We have three different choices of detectors, but now we have to figure out what we can do to speed up or slow down the flow of time. Kozarev found that ice melting, liquid evaporation, dissolution of substances in water, and even plant withering would speed up the flow of time, or create time, as Kozarev called it. Furthermore, the contrary processes, such as cooling of bodies and water freezing, will absorb time, thus causing the flow of time to slow down in a tiny but measurable way. This gives even more proof for the idea that the flow of time is actually responsible for building and maintaining physical matter. When matter starts breaking apart, when a piece of ice melts, a liquid evaporates, a substance dissolves in water, or a plant dies, it gives off some of the energy stored within it. We already saw Dr. Fritz Albert Popp strike living DNA with a chemical that made it unwind and die. And in the process, it released a burst of photons. I also suggested that the photons were not the only energy we should be looking at. Currents in the source field are also being released at the same time, causing effects Kozarev could measure in the laboratory. This is such a central point that it does require more explanation. When matter breaks down, the tight little circuits of coherent energy that have been spinning along on the quantum level suddenly burst free. This creates a ripple, a sudden release of energy and movement in the source field. Then, as Kozarev discovered, time speeds up in that immediate area as all that energy flows out. On the other hand, when the source field is spiraling into an area to increase coherence, making matter more organized, time slows down in the surrounding outside region. The flow in that outside area now behaves like the outer edge of a whirlpool, where the water moves more slowly than it normally would if the vortex wasn't there. In the case of Berlikov's fish egg experiment, where older fish eggs seemed to be sucking the life force out of the younger ones, we can now see that there is no cruelty involved by the hand of nature. The older eggs are simply absorbing more source field energy than the weaker eggs by their nature, creating a stronger, faster vortex. This naturally draws energy away from the slower, weaker vortex of energy flowing into the younger eggs. As Kozarev discovered, this temporary slowdown in the flow of time starts happening when an object cools down, thus making its quantum movement less chaotic and more coherent, which in turn draws in more source field energy. Water freezes, causing more coherent crystals to form. A life form, such as a plant, grows, increasing the coherence as new cells are formed, or crystals form out of a liquid solution. So again, any time we're seeing crystallization and growth, these processes absorb energy from the source field, and time moves more slowly in the surrounding area. This is obviously a whole new way of thinking about things. It's strange to think of a decrease in heat as actually drawing an increase in the flow of the source field, since we're used to thinking of an increase in heat as an increase in energy. In this case, there appears to be an inverse relationship between the level of heat and the amount of source field flow, or at least the amount of coherence we find in the source field. Heat destroys coherence by increasing the amount of random, chaotic movement at the quantum level. Here are some of the things Kozarev found that could change the flow of time in his laboratory, one way or the other, creating measurable ripples in the source field, much like waves moving through a body of water. The bending, breaking, or deforming of a physical object, shooting a burst of air at an object, operating an hourglass filled with sand, friction, burning, any object or surface absorbing light, heating or cooling an object, phase transitions in substances, frozen to liquid, liquid to vapor, etc., dissolving and mixing substances, running electrical current through a wire, the actions of an observer, such as a movement of the head, the fading death of plants, sudden changes in human consciousness. In one case, simply lifting a 10-kilogram weight up and down would create a ripple in the flow of time, a wave, that could be measured 2 to 3 meters away. This is just like what we would see if we were raising and lowering the weight underwater. There would be ripples we could then measure at a distance. Sometime after I first read about this in 1999, I realized that this meant the source field, which exists all throughout space and time, must behave like a fluid. And this became the key to solving the mysteries of sacred geometry, as we will soon see, not to mention the pyramids. Kozarev found that these ripples could travel right through solid brick walls as if they weren't even there. This has led most Russian scientists to conclude that the flow of time has a much closer relationship with gravity than it does electromagnetism, as I said before. Electromagnetic energy can be shielded, but the force of gravity holds you down equally as well inside a brick building or a lead-lined cage as it does outside. Non-mechanical detectors. So far, we've only studied the mechanical detectors Kozarev developed. He also found other non-mechanical ways to study the flow of time as well, meaning these were methods that did not use any moving parts as we would normally think of them. The simplest of these detectors was heat. Every atom is filled with a constant frenzy of whirling movement, which scientists call spin. When an object heats up, there is an increasing amount of chaotic, unpredictable movement in the atom, which eventually causes it to give off a glowing red, yellow, or white light. Heat creates random, unpredictable, chaotic movements that disrupt the free flow of the source field at the quantum level, reducing coherence. On the other hand, when an object cools down, there is less resistance to the quantum flow, and it will move faster and more smoothly. This explains why superconductors need to be kept at supercool temperatures. The lack of heat creates a lack of movement that would interrupt the flow of electrical current. Kozarev thus realized he could measure changes in time with an ordinary mercury thermometer, kept in an environment where the temperature was otherwise being held constant. Kozarev also found that his experiments worked best in the first half of the winter. In the summer, the heat in the surrounding area seemed to have a scrambling effect on the overall flow of time, and this made it difficult or even impossible for any of his experiments to work properly. The increase in heat reduced the coherence in the source field. Kozarev also found that the flow of electricity could be affected by changes in the flow of time, and this was the same effect that the Global Consciousness Project was apparently detecting. Professor Simon Schnoll also used electrical current as one of his tools to detect changes in the flow of time. Kozarev found that tungsten metal was extremely responsive to the flow of time. Tungsten's electrical conductivity could be permanently changed if you zapped it with a strong enough time flow. Another time flow detector was a quartz crystal. When you see the word quartz on a watch, that means there is a crystal inside of it with electricity running through it. The flow of electricity causes the quartz crystal to resonate at a speed that is steady enough to keep solid time. The crystal in a watch is shielded from source field influence on a component level by methods we will discuss below. For that reason, we normally do not see any changes in how a quartz watch keeps time, and the scientists who built them that way probably never realized what they were actually doing. However, if you blast a non-shielded quartz crystal with a strong enough time flow, its vibrating speed will change, and Kozarev could measure this in the laboratory. Again, this change can be permanent, showing that the molecular structure has actually changed. Yet another interesting non-mechanical detector of the time flow was the thickness or viscosity of water. When the flow of time slows down in water, there is less coherence. Random movements interrupt the water's ability to flow. As a result, the water becomes thicker or more viscous, meaning it will not flow as quickly or easily. When the flow of time speeds up in water, coherence increases, and it flows faster. This can easily be measured. Chemical reactions also speed up and slow down, just like we saw in Schnoll's research. And lastly, Kozarev found that living things, such as bacteria and plants, will grow faster or slower depending upon how fast the flow of time is moving through them and their own local area. This should sound very familiar by now. Kozarev was another early pioneer who discovered that our own health could be directly affected by the flow of time as it moves through our cells. Spiraling currents of time. Kozarev also found that the flow of time does not push through space in a straight line. It spins or twists as it moves along. Time possesses not only energy, but also a rotation, which it can transmit to a system. This means the flow will manifest as a rotating movement once you see it affecting a gyroscope, beam balance, pendulum, or any other system, just like what we saw in Dr. Aspden's experiment with the magnetic rotor. A scientific word for spinning or twisting is torsion. For this reason, many Russian scientists call these waves of time torsion fields. I prefer to use the term source field because I feel it gives us a much better sense of how this energy is ultimately responsible for creating everything in the universe. Nonetheless, this twist in gravity is where we find all the magic of the source field in our model. Some molecules, such as sugar, are considered right-handed, meaning that their molecules predominantly spiral together in a clockwise fashion. Others, such as turpentine or salt, are left-handed, where the molecules are mostly counterclockwise. Kozarev found that right-handed molecules absorb the flow of time and slow it down. Similarly, left-handed molecules strengthen the flow of time and speed it up. As Kozarev and others discovered, the more this source field energy flows into your body, the healthier you will be. So if you eat too many sweets, you are causing the source field to be absorbed by the sugar rather than by your DNA, which needs to store light to maintain itself. A great way to test how well you're doing is by checking your pH balance, which can be done with little strips of paper you hold in your mouth for a few minutes. Sugars, saturated fats, meats, dairy, sweet fruits, white flour, prepackaged foods, alcohol, and drugs all bring you closer to the acid side of the scale. And healthy natural foods, like fresh organic vegetables, nuts, seeds, and less sweet fruits, bring you closer to the alkaline side. You do need both sides to some degree. Although Kozarev found that salt strengthens the flow of time, too much is very bad because of its effect on your blood pressure and the work your body has to do to clean it out of your bloodstream. In some rare cases, people can become too alkaline, but in general, it's very, very hard to overdose on fresh vegetables. Either way, it's all about balance.